Today we want to consider the ABCs of wisdom, also known as the first fatherly discourse. For those of you who have begun reading, I want to help you and encourage you to lock in on and make final your plan to read through the book of Proverbs. Whatever that looks like, that might be one chapter a day, that might be using the Table Talk devotional, that might be in your family devotions. Today's the second sermon in this sermon series, and the question I want to ask you as you read, how many fatherly discourses do you find in the book of Proverbs? This is a question that I've been asking. I've been looking at various commentators, and they don't all agree. There are different ways of breaking up the first seven or so chapters of Proverbs, but these first seven chapters are one fatherly discourse on top of another, on top of another. And we look at the first of those today. We need to remember that the Proverbs are for everybody. They are designed to make the simple-hearted wise. That's because everybody, even kids ages 4 through 12, are Adam's descendants and affected by his first sin. What this means is that we drag our own self around, our old self around, and our hearts are somehow bent towards doing what is wrong. Children, I want to begin today by asking you, why is it so difficult to do the things that your parents tell you to do? And why is it so easy to do the things you want to do, the way you want to do them, when you want to do them? I want you to think about, why is that the case? We make our hearts known by our actions. Proverbs 20:11 says, even a child is known by his actions, by whether his conduct is pure and right. So today, children, I want to invite you to curl up beside mom and dad and listen carefully as the voice of wisdom dresses you up in beautiful garlands and handsome pennants. I want to think about this today. And I want to remind you that one of the things that I'm very excited about in the midst of this series is to invite each one of you to draw pictures. Even adults, I want pictures from you if you're willing, because I want to have the whole book of Proverbs laid out in picture form. We could use this online. We could use this out in our hallway. There's a whole bunch of different ways we can use this if you draw. I have to talk. You have to draw. All right, so let's consider that. And children, the picture I wanted you to draw me today is I want you to draw a child, can be a boy or a girl, kind of big in the foreground. In the background, I want you to draw that child's mother. And I want you to have coming out of her mouth words. And they can like loop around a little bit, and they could, and I want you to, those words to wrap around the head of that child. And I want those to come around on their chest in some way. All right? And I'm going to show you in just a second why, but so that's the picture that I want to invite you to draw for me today. We want to look at this passage today under 3 points. The first one is this. Children, I want you to ask where wisdom comes from. Where does wisdom come from? When you look at verses 8 and 9, you see something very, very interesting. Now, I don't know about you kids, but my children love to play dress up. They love to go around the house, and it's funny. Probably some of you have seen this even at church. My youngest daughter loves to dress up, and she says, "Daddy, do I look beautiful?" As she wears her wispy princess dress. And my son wants to be strong. He wants to be a man of honor. He wants to beat the bad guys and protect the good guys. And so you'll see him out regularly, out doing some Pokemon-type battle and flipping around and waving his arm. You've seen it, right? Okay. Children love to engage in these kinds of things. But I want you to observe that that we learn where wisdom comes from in verse 8. The Bible teaches us to view ourselves as sons and daughters. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Forsake not your mother's teaching. Proverbs is built, this particular fatherly discourse is built around the fifth commandment. Children, have you heard the words? I hope you hear them 100 times. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Fathers are referenced first because fathers are the head of their home. It is good and right and biblical for a wife to take her husband's name because that man becomes the head of that home. And it's out of the wedded love of a father, of a husband and a wife, that a mother and a father grows. As children come into that family, and now there begin to be little voices around the table. Fathers are mentioned first because they are the head of their family, but don't forget that the Bible, from beginning to end, honors the place of a woman. It honors the authority that a mother has over her teenage son. And so you 11 or 12-year-old boys, I don't want to hear you disrespecting or ignoring your mother. Consider the role of a father and a mother in the lives of their children. And it's from their mouths, it's from their example, it's from their piety that children learn wisdom. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Now it gets interesting. For they. Now what is the they here? Well, this is a word that's referring back to the instruction and to the teaching. They, the instruction of your father, the teaching of your mother, are a graceful garland for your head. Now you have to remember, the Bible was written in a time when it was a very agricultural society. And so children would go and they would find flowers, they would find leaves, and they would wind them together as a garland, and they would make a crown and they would put it on their heads. And I have the 21st century equivalent of a graceful garland. And you all can see this is my daughter's princess crown. She has about 8 or 10 crowns, and they seem to get stepped on and broken regularly, so some of them are not functional anymore. But this is a very recent crown that my daughter loves to wear around our house. And she says, Daddy, doesn't this make me look beautiful? And I say, oh, it does, sweetie. I want you to consider that the instruction of a father and the teaching of a mother are what make little girls beautiful. They are a graceful garland or a princess crown for your head. Now we have here, secondly, they are pendants for your neck. Now, you know what a pendant is. It hangs often at the bottom of a necklace. And I was trying to think, boys in our culture don't really ever wear necklaces, at least that I've seen. But I want you to consider that a pendant is a very manly thing. And this is the pendant that I came up with. This is my son's Superman t-shirt. By the way, I have to confess, I have one of my own. And when I'm feeling particularly manly, I like to wear it. I love it when my wife wants me to wear it. Men, we don't wear princess crowns, but we do wear pendants on our chest. And I want you to consider that men, we are not interested in trying to get somebody to tell us we are beautiful. We are interested in being men of honor and strength. Boys, I want you to see what's represented in a pendant. It is something that identifies who you are. The men of Israel would have shields, and they would even have pendants on their shields so that they could go into battle and they could protect their families and they could contend for righteousness among the violence of the nations all around them. So, children, consider that the Bible wants you to be beautiful, wants you to be honorable, but it is pointing you somewhere other than flashy jewelry. It is pointing you where? To the words that come out of your parents' mouths. The rest of this chapter will all make sense to you if you will understand the ABCs of wisdom begin with what your parents say to you. And by the way, this applies for far more than 4 to 12-year-olds. But consider, we as a congregation today need to consider the role of our children. We need to consider that it is not acceptable for children to blow off and to ignore the words of their parents. Children, you need to understand that God has put your parents in a place of authority. Parents, you need to understand it's not your job to get your kids to like you. It's your job to instruct and teach your children in the way that they should go. We are surrounded in many ways in our culture by people who have grown-up bodies, but they have immature souls because they were never taught carefully, systematically, piously by their parents. Now, I'm not interested in making our children into little mini adults, but I am interested in our children learning the ABCs of wisdom. And in walking in the path of wisdom, which climbs higher and higher and higher until we reach our glorious home, the celestial kingdom, even heaven itself. So I want to suggest to you, children, draw this picture of a mother speaking to her child with the words wrapping around that child's head is a beautiful garland or coming onto their chest as a beautiful pendant. And then I want to suggest to you down at the bottom, write verse 8 in big letters, because it's verse 8 that really is the essence, I believe, of the first fatherly discourse. It grounds everything else that is said. So children, understand that you are simple-hearted by nature. You haven't lived long enough yet to understand all of the complexities of the world. This means you're easily confused. You are easily distracted. And now we're transitioning to the second point this morning. You are easily enticed. That's why God tells your parents in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Children, God challenges your parents. In Proverbs 14:26, the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. In Proverbs 31, it says, an excellent mother's children will rise up and call her blessed. Children, when was the last time you called, well, all of us, when was the last time you said, Mom, you're a blessing in my life? Proverbs 17:6 says, the glory of children is their fathers. This leads us then to the second point this morning. Beware of the enticement of sinners. Those who are simple-minded are easily enticed by sinners. And this is where we go in verse 10. Once again, this father figure in the Proverbs is saying, my son. But notice the next words. If sinners entice you, do not consent. If you are tempted by the glitz and glamour of evil, children, do not go down that path. It looks innocent enough at first, but the further you go down the path of sinners, the more and more you have to compromise and live against the things that you believe to be true. And the more and more your conscience will be darkened, Your eyes will become blind to the glory of God. Your ears will become deaf to the word of God, and you will drift away. And I'm sure that your parents and members of this congregation, I myself can tell you tragic stories of children who started with such fervent love for Christ, and then they drifted away. And now they're far from God. And they're active participants in evil that hurts people, that dishonors God and their parents, and that indeed is ruining their own souls. If you want to draw a second picture today, this is kind of the scary part. Draw a picture of a heart that is evil. Now, I don't know how you can do this. I was thinking about some ideas. Could you draw a heart with fangs? Could you draw a heart with a thought bubble that has something evil in it? Somehow make this heart look evil, because we need to know that evil is real and that around us there are people who are not interested in Jesus. They don't want to hear his name. They don't want to read his book. They don't want to go into one of his churches. They really don't even want to know one of his people, because their hearts are set on evil. Sinners are active. They want to recruit us to their side. Now, we want to recruit them to our side. That's called evangelism. That's a good thing, and it honors God. Jesus commanded us to go and preach the gospel to all the nations. But we need to understand that the evil side preaches a message too. And it's in the form of temptation and enticement. Come with us. Oh, you can be cool if you'll come with us. Go walk through Westridge Mall and look at how there are enticements for your children. What are those enticements? Children, do you understand that your soul is a precious treasure and that everyone is trying to get their hands on the treasure? And you need to consider very carefully, to whom do you belong? Do you belong to Jesus? If so, then what Proverbs says, it says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Don't go down that road. There is a path that Christ has laid before us. It is a straight path. It's a narrow path, but it leads to everlasting life. And those who stay on the path and don't wander off of it will have blessings beyond what they can possibly imagine when Jesus comes back. There are many blessings in this world, but it's not always easy. It doesn't always make you rich or make you famous or make you popular to walk in the ways of righteousness. But God is honored. So consider, there's three ways in particular we see this enticement. Look at verse 13, where those who now are enticing this son in this passage, they say, we shall find all precious goods. That is, sinners will promise that you can get rich quickly. If you come with us, you'll get rich. You'll be prosperous. You'll have everything you need. You can drive a fancy car. You can wear beautiful clothes. You can walk with the rich and famous. Consider, children, that celebrities are only famous for being famous. You don't need to go down that road. That when you see people who seem to have it all, oftentimes they have all the outward things, but their souls are in poverty. Look at the second half of verse 13. We shall fill our houses with plunder. That is, sinners will promise to make you successful. They will have all of these things. Consider that success is kind of like a mirage. That success in the eyes of the world is always a little bit more. I had the opportunity to minister to a millionaire. And one time I sat and I talked with this millionaire. And I said, what does it feel like to be a millionaire? He said, I am nothing compared to billionaires. And I thought, whoa, that's interesting. There is always somebody richer than you. And so you can have a greedy heart set on unjust gain, or you can rest in the finished work of Christ and trust God, saying, give us today our daily bread. We've had the opportunity as a church to minister to people who are literally living from day to day. Maybe without a job, maybe with disabilities, whatever the case may be. But they're literally depending on God to give them what they need for today. And they're trusting Him. And they're honoring Jesus by living in faith. Well, look also here at verse 14. It says, throw in your lot among us, we will all have one purse. Sinners will promise you that if you'll go along with them, you'll be part of the group. You'll belong. You'll be popular. When I went to college, I interacted with a number of young men who had previously been part of inner city gangs. And one of the things that I was struck with was by how deeply the issue of identity drove all of the activities of the gang. And because their identity was centered in the gang, the whole gang together was more or less at war with the police, trying to do bad things and not get caught. I visited, not those men, but I visited other men in jail who thought they could break the law and then that there wouldn't be consequences, and now are in jail sometimes for years. Children, sinners will entice you. They will seek to draw you away. The first thing they will do is they will seek to drive a wedge between you and your parents. Because your parents, your father's instruction, and your mother's teaching is the essence of wisdom. They will try to get you to stop going to church, because it's in the church that we learn the ABCs of wisdom. Do not consent. Do not go down that road. Do not abandon the faith that has been once for all delivered to the saints. It seems hard sometimes to live for the glory of God, but the long-term consequences are glorious. Children, it seems easy to live for yourself. It seems easy to live just for this moment. It seems easy to pursue fame and riches and popularity. But those things are empty. It's a remarkable thing to consider the enticement that sinners will lay before the people of God. And all of us at some point or another will have to make the decision, to whom will I listen? What voices are filling our heads? And please hear me today when I say, children, beware the enticement of sinners. This leads us to the final point this morning. It's very simple. Choose the fear of the Lord and heed wisdom. Notice that we are called to choose. Down in verse 29, and wisdom personified here says that because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, therefore bad things are going to happen. Children, I want you to understand that what you do matters, and that no one can choose things for you. I can physically go home and take one of my sons and push them down into their chair, and their body can be sitting, but did you know that their hearts can still be standing on the inside? Believe me, it's happened. Consider that your heart belongs to Christ. And if you are in Christ, and if you're trusting in Christ, then you have the fear of the Lord. And you need to choose every day to fear the Lord. And then the big piece here is to choose to heed wisdom. And again, I want to read a few of these verses again in closing, beginning at verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud, and you might find a picture somewhere in here. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. Parents, remember, sometimes wisdom involves raising your voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks, "How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers, people who make fun of other people, delight in making fun of other people? And fools hate knowledge. If you will turn at my reproof," that's repentance, "behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you." And then if you want to flip over to verse 33, this is kind of the other piece of the promised blessings. "Whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster." If you want to be blessed, if you want to be truly successful, hear the voice of wisdom. The voice of wisdom in your parents, the voice of wisdom in your elders, the voice of wisdom in your teachers, the voice of wisdom in police officers. Consider that there are those, because God loves you, He's given you these people. But also notice that much of the call of wisdom is a sketching out of what happens when people turn away from wisdom. And today we need to remember, and with this I close today, that in Christ are found all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom isn't just something that's floating around. Wisdom is centered on a person, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you love Christ, children, I would invite you, I would call you today to choose to love Christ more than anything or anyone else. It ought to be because you love Christ that you hear your father's instruction. It's because you love Christ that you ought to not forsake your mother's teaching. It's because you love Christ that you ought to get up on Sunday morning and delight in going to church and being with God's people. As you grow older, your love for Christ will be challenged. And you'll have to sometimes give yourselves a little wake-up call and say, "Wait a minute, what happened to my love for Jesus?" And you'll have to go back to Him, and you'll have to repent of your sin. And you'll have to have the Holy Spirit stir up your love for Christ anew. And so I would close in asking, what fruit are you gathering? Children, adults, all of us, what fruit are you gathering? Are you on God's way in the blessings that are promised there, or are you going your own way? Have you hardened your own heart and are reaping the difficult consequences of that? Look at verse 32. It says, "The simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them." Children, don't be complacent. Don't stay being simple. Grow up. Meditate upon the Word of God, upon the ways of God, upon the person of Christ. Be one who joyfully follows and knows and loves and hangs on to the ABCs of wisdom. Let us pray. O Lord our God, how we thank you for your Word, how we thank you for all that it contains. And O Lord, we thank you that it gives us the way of wisdom. Lord, help us to have a beautiful crown of upon our head and beautiful pendants around our necks, that, Lord, we might hear our Father's instruction, and, Lord, especially our Heavenly Father's instruction. Lord, how we thank you for our mothers, and we pray, O Lord, that their teaching might be echoing in our ears. that, Lord, we might hear and embrace the teaching of our mother, the church. And, Lord, that we, in all of our ages, as spiritual children, might turn and love and follow in the ways of our Heavenly Father. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.